Good morning, everyone. It's Todd.
And Julie.
You want to do that? Do you want to do it?
No, you do it.
Because I want to make sure, because it's your show, so I want to make sure that, you know.
Well, I do always wait on him every single Wednesday, so it should be my show because I'm actually on time, but okay.
So, I mean, I was actually working on something for you, which is why I was 8 minutes late.
Does
so
it matter? It wasn't eight. It was actually
18 minutes. Okay, I'm sorry. So good morning, everyone. I hope that you're doing well. I hope you're doing better than what we are because we're having to kind of swim our way through Nashville right now from this monsoon that we're having.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's so crazy. So let's talk about what's going on in your life right now, Julie. Why are you looking at me like you're crazy?
I mean, I'm not.
You can tell everyone that you're pregnant.
Shut up. You're disgusting. Oh, my God. That's a nightmare.
So we have so many things that go on in our life every day, so many crazy things, and we get to a point to where we're so overwhelmed, and I think this past week was a week to where Judy and I just both sat down and cried.
Yes, for
sure. We both just sat down and cried at all of the things that still keep coming our way and things that people tell and to try to benefit from something that they've done to us, you know. Issues with kids, issues with other family members. You know, Nick is you know, kind of not doing well right now because he's been injured. And, you know, we've got that, you know, to worry about because, you know, he is in another country. And so we're dealing with that. We deal with Savannah, you know, being upset because she's not there to, you know, to make sure that he's okay. We deal with so many different things that it's always the stress level is like through the roof. So this past week, we both just sat down and started crying and said, you know what, God, we know that your promise to us is that you're not going to place more on us than what we can bear. But I have to tell you right now, the cross is heavy. And then it seemed like there was some light at the end of the tunnel that came after that prayer, you know, that, you know, some things kind of started easing up. And the whole purpose of telling you that was to let you know that I do believe in prayer and I do believe that God will never forsake us. And so I just kind of wanted to share that. And, you know, we're trying to do this podcast. And of course, this, you know, douchebag named Jay DeMarcus walks in.
You just talked about prayer. And then you said douchebag. Why do you have to do that?
Well, because I was praying that God will forgive me for calling him that.
Okay. Well, you need to. But I think what you were trying to say is that no matter how perfect someone's life
appears to be,
it's not.
No.
It's really not. And listen, I understand that people may be listening to this podcast and be like, okay, sure, whatever. But I'm being as honest as I can be. I feel like we have issues that everyone else has.
100%.
Even sometimes magnified because we are in the public eye. Mm-hmm. Things that people, you know, say about us, do to us, whatever, we're under such scrutiny. And I never really understood that about other families and other people that were in, you know, reality TV or just TV. But it is true. Mm-hmm. It is true. And I want to preface that by saying that we have been so blessed in so many ways. Mm-hmm. And we do not take for granted the platform we've been given. We don't take for granted the opportunities we've been given. But we're like everybody else. We stumble, we fall, we hurt. And we deal with issues that everyone else deals with. And I said this to someone, I think for us, you know, whether you have a disagreement with your parents or with your kids, you can have that cool off time. And I think that's the thing that we don't have because we have to work with your mom, which I don't have any issues with, but we work with your mom. We work with our kids every single day.
Which we always have issue with.
And, you know, I remember when my kids were in school, and I consider myself to be a great mom. I have always put my children first. But I can tell you there were mornings when I dropped all four of the kids off, because this was before Grayson, that I just sat there and had, thank you, Jesus, I've got till 3 o'clock. Not that I did not love worship them, but it was nice to have that break. I don't feel like now we ever get that.
But did you really ever have a break? Because when you dropped them off at school, you then drove 45 minutes back home. You then started your dinner for that night at 6 o'clock. You then went and got in the shower, put your hair, your makeup on, and got ready and went to your office.
Right. I think it was just everyone wasn't in our personal space all the time.
So you're saying that you and I had that time to, you know.
That has nothing to do with
that little thing we did.
But I'm just saying that, you know, that has been something that has been in our forefront this past week, especially.
I think that I don't think that this is any different than a family business. You know, when you have a family business and you hire your son or your daughter to come in, or an aunt or an uncle or a cousin, when the door is opened for someone else to come into something that you've created, there's a certain level of entitlement.
Right.
Well, you know, I don't have to do the same thing that the rest of the employees do because
my dad owns a company. Or
right. Or my cousin owns a company. Yeah. Or my son owns it or whatever. And no one, you know, when you work with family members every day, you have to work through that ebb and flow.
Right.
And, you know, we work with our kids every day, with my mother every day. On top of that, we're constantly dealing with whatever lies being told in the tabloids, someone wanting to write something about Kyle. It's not a new story for you to talk about my son suffering from drug addiction. It's not a new story. I mean, that's been out since what, season one?
Right.
I think that's been there since season one. And people will still write about it because we in this country, we love a great slapback.
Yes.
So someone can have a comeback. We love to be able to build someone up just so we can slap them back to see if they can come back.
Absolutely.
And, you know, we have had that. I've had that so many times in my life.
Oh, absolutely, you know, we have. From just people, whether they're judging you, whether it's envy, whether it's greed, whether it's someone just straight out telling a lie on you. You know, my dad said this my whole life growing up in the church. And he is a Southern Baptist minister. But he said the biggest downfall of the church is we like to bring people in, lift them up, and then watch them fall.
Yes. And I agree. I say that's one of the biggest downfalls of Christianity.
Yes.
Is that we love to be the savior.
Yes.
And then once we've resurrected someone and we've put them back up to where they can stand on their own two feet, it's almost like we don't have a job left.
Right.
So for job security, we're going to tear somebody else down.
Right.
So we can look like the savior to build them back up.
Right.
And that is something that we do not do. We are not out here trying to hurt anyone, even though that still comes our way. And the sad part about it is that someone can be telling a blatant lie. You can have the documentation. You can have a recording of this person lying. But because that person's name doesn't garner attention, and our name does, whether it's a lie or not, they're going to run with it. And then here we are left with having to defend ourselves. And how do you defend a negative? How do you do that? So I think that for us, where we are right now in our life is that we have basically given over all of the garbage that Satan has tried to throw our way. We've given it to God and we've said, Lord, whatever road you have for us to walk on, we're going to walk on it. And we're going to walk on it because we know we're not walking it alone. The truth always comes out. It always rises to the top. It may take a while.
And there may be some bumps along the way, and we've experienced that.
Yes, and there may be heartache, and we've experienced that.
Right, because it's very frustrating when you feel like good doesn't always win.
Right.
If you're honest, if you're just going through life doing you, doesn't always win. And that's the hard part, to find, okay, where's the lesson in this, God? You know, if we believe that you are all that you are, how can you let bad things happen to good people?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that has been the question that the non-believer has always posed to the believer. Mm-hmm. Is why, God, do you allow certain things to happen to me when I'm to believe that you're in control of everything, that you're everywhere, everything that's going to happen to me before I was ever a gleam in my father's eye? And I believe that you have to go back. That's where you have to go back to the scripture to say that God doesn't put more on you than what you can stand. And there is a lesson to be learned. And sometimes we have to be brought down by the one that can truly bring us down for us to A, prove that we have faith and to live by that faith and to prepare us for something great. Mm-hmm. And I believe that. All right. Let's talk about Canvas people. Okay. We all have thousands of photos on our phone. I have thousands on mine. And I have a story because my daughter, Savannah, lost all of her photos in her phone and she was devastated. So this causes me to even love Canvas people even more because Canvas people will print your favorite photos on Canvas for really unique, beautiful prints. And the prints are like pieces of art. Now, as a special limited offer, Canvas people is offering their popular 11 by 14 canvases for free. That's right, free. These normally sell for $69.99, but for this week only, you'll pay nothing. Just cover shipping and handling. To get your free canvas, text CC, Chrisley Confession, to 484848. Just pay shipping and handling. The offer won't last long. Text CC to 484848. That's CC to 484848. Message and data rates may apply. So go get some of those photos off your phone and have them around your house where you can see them every day. Because trust me, those kids grow up so fast.
You know, I think that you and I, we came to the realization, you know, folks, I'm getting ready to tell y'all something that no one else knows except my wife and my children and my mother now. My father knew before he passed away. But I was molested as a child by a doctor that my mother took us to, a dermatologist. And, you know, it took me a long time. It wasn't until Julie and I got married and I had Chase and Savannah. So that was four children that I had, that I finally kind of, you know, had a breakthrough and just broke down. And I think sometimes we got to break down in order to break through. And I think the shame held me back for so long that it was a secret that I started carrying from the time that it happened. And I just did not want anyone to know about it. And when I finally shared it with Julie, Julie helped me to step away from that shame. And shame is such a powerful thing. And the reason that I tell you that this morning is because it goes in with what Julie was saying. When you were just saying that if God is who he says he is, why are these things happening? Well, you know, I said to Julie the other day, I said, but Julie, I says, I put my faith in God in everything. I said, even I have questions at times. And I says, and the biggest question that I have is when I go back and say, God, if you knew me before I was a twinkle in your eye, if you knew me before I was conceived, then you must have known this horrible thing was going to happen to me. So why did you allow this to happen to a little boy? I was an innocent child, and I now know why God let it happen to me. God was preparing me to be strong. He was preparing me to know that even though this happened to me, he was going to walk me through it. He was going to help me get to the other side. He was going to help me help others in my life. And, you know, I received a text message yesterday from a friend of ours, and I'm going to share it with you because it was very powerful and it came in at a time that was very needed. I get this text message and it said, "Hey, love, I feel like the Lord is telling me to tell you to remember the joy." And I said, "Thanks, buddy. I love you with all my heart." He comes back in and says, "In all of this, he is in it with you. Whatever it is, he chose you to bring light into the world, Todd. Just like that little dying girl you and Julie went to visit in Atlanta, you were her dying wish. You drove from Nashville to Atlanta 4 hours to make sure that that happened. You were the bringer of joy in her life and the life of her family. God set you up for that moment in her last moments. That's how important you are in the kingdom, my friend. I love you. Please remember the joy." So folks, what I want to tell you with before we start getting into these calls, remember your joy. I could have allowed what happened to me as a child, and I did allow it, to steal my joy. I could have allowed so many bad things, all the articles that my ex-wife has participated in, you know, keep in mind, a woman who gave her 2 children away and never paid a dime in child support, medical care, nothing, never saw them. I could have allowed that to steal my joy. And I did for so many years. I was so bitter because I hurt because I knew my children were hurting. And so I held on to that. But I'm telling you here today, I'm letting that go. I will never speak on this podcast or about my ex-wife ever again because I'm letting it go. Because I have come to the determination that until I let it go, it's still going to remain with me. So I'm not going to do that. You know, I had a conversation with Kyle yesterday and he said to me and then sent me a long text message and said, "Daddy, thank you for everything that you've always done for me. But most importantly, thank you for never giving up on me. You have always, you and Julie, been there for me, even when I pushed you away. And I thank you for always coming back." You know what, folks? That's all I needed. I don't need retribution anymore. I don't need to talk about her anymore. It's a non-issue. So today, I let it go here on Chrisley Confessions. We will not discuss it again. We will get into more of what happened to me as a child. That's going to be in my book. I ended up going back after this individual, after Julie gave me the strength to do so. And I filed a lawsuit against this man and I put him out of business. He was a prominent doctor and I put him out of business. He closed his dermatology practice down. This man volunteered for the Boys Home of South Carolina. And he just passed away 2 years ago of prostate cancer. So now there's your irony. So with that being said, enough doom and gloom in our family because we are blessed beyond measure. Would you agree with that, Julie?
Absolutely.
We are blessed beyond measure and we love each and every one of you. So let's take the first caller.
Hello, this is Jessica from Michigan. My question is for Todd. About a year or so ago, you were very public and passionate about the corruption going on in your hometown of Westminster, South Carolina. I was just wondering if that was something you're still working on or if the issues have gotten solved or better. Thanks. Love you guys.
Jessica, God, you've been following us for a long time. Unfortunately, the corruption is still there. This is a small town that we grew up in. I mean, the town is basically in such disarray and such bad financial fiscal condition that no one knows how to get their hands around it. And you have a city council that literally is just these hometown cronies that they have no formal background in holding these positions. You have a mayor there that is so corrupt, and I welcome him to sue me for slander so that I can go ahead and out everything that I know about the things that he's done and that he continues to do. This man, the city, basically he built property on land that belongs to the city and then tried to claim that one of his buddies on the town council before this town council had told him it would be okay. Well, that member doesn't own the damn property, so they can't give you property to build on. The city takes the property from this new town council. They take the property, but yet they've done nothing with it, and he's still allowed to use it. So how did that benefit the taxpayers? You've got a corrupt system there that it's these good old boys patting each other on the back. Now, they tried to come for me, which was so silly of them, on social media, because I will call you out for it because I don't have anything to hide. So basically, Jessica, it's not any better. The people there in that community are good people, good, hardworking, honest people. But unfortunately, there's just no economy there. I mean, all of the factories have closed down. Dunlop, which was a fabricator of golf balls, you know, that was there my whole life. They had to leave and relocate to
Greenville, I think.
Somewhere. They left the county and the city of Westminster because they could not afford to pay the water bill that they were being charged for water in the city.
And I think it's a matter of the city, rather than work a deal out to keep people in their jobs.
They don't have the intelligence to do that.
They don't have the wherewithal to understand the big picture. And I think this is something that is affecting little towns all across America. People are in a rut. People don't know who to turn to. They don't know who to trust. And unfortunately, you know, I think the issues are still there. But Jessica, thank you for calling.
Thank you, Jessica. Next caller, please.
Hi, Todd. Hi, Julie. My name is Susan. I'm calling from beautiful and cold Denver, Colorado. Want to say I love the show. Julie, the way you and Nanny Faye put Todd in his place, absolutely priceless. Todd, I love you too. My question is for both of you, but primarily for Julie. Julie, I am a 2-time cancer survivor, and has forced me into early menopause. How did you and Todd talk about menopause and the changes that were happening with your body? I just need some advice on how to get my husband, not necessarily more on my side, but at least be a little more sympathetic. Thanks. Love the show. Have a good one. Bye.
Hi, Susan from Denver. First of all, you know, congratulations. You're a 2-time survivor. That is amazing, amazing. Oh, the big M word, menopause. You know, Todd is a researcher, and he probably knows more about it than I do. But yes, anybody that has gone through menopause will tell you it is not for the faint of heart, other than my mother-in-law, who went through menopause and says she had absolutely no symptoms whatsoever, which is so hard for me to believe. I just can't believe it. But I went through menopause at 40 after having a radical hysterectomy due to the fact that I had an estrogen-driven breast cancer. So I went through it without the help of any medication, any hormones. And I will tell you that for about a year and a half, it was really rough. It was rough on my husband. It was rough on my marriage. It was rough on my children. But it is something that you get through. So I would urge you to have your husband do some research. You know, I don't know what your cancer was. I don't know what your process was. But I feel like the best thing that he can do is to educate himself, because that will help him understand a little bit of what you're going through. So good luck with that. And again, congrats on being that cancer survivor.
You know, I think that, you know, to help your husband out here, I did research and I did find out, you know, the things that I needed to know and kind of what Julie's symptoms were going to be going through menopause and, you know, what was going to help me to be more patient and what have you. But from a man's perspective, you know, we don't go through that. So I don't believe whether it's menopause, whether it's
having a baby.
I mean, I've had 5 of those. You can't go there. Because there's no way your labor pains are as bad as what my rearing pains have been.
I promise you they are.
But, you know, there's no way for someone else to relate to someone else's pain unless they've been through it. So Julie can relate to you going through menopause because she went through it early because, like she said, her breast cancer was estrogen driven and she had a hysterectomy. So that, you know, she was basically running on a deficit of estrogen. And I think that I just realized that no matter how bad it was, the only thing worse would be not being with Julie and going through it. So I think that you and your husband have to recommit to each other, recommit to your marriage, recommit to why you married each other to begin with. Find those things. And I mean, and get back to him and listen, let him know the good thing about you going through menopause. Y'all can play all day and you ain't got to worry about getting pregnant. Next caller, please.
Hey, Todd and Julie. This is Brett from McMinnville, Tennessee. Love the podcast and look forward to it every week. I wanted your advice on something. I am currently a junior in college at UT Martin as a chemistry major. I'm also a teaching assistant for the chemistry department. I'm a very involved in a local church where I volunteer with the praise team every week. I have a pretty busy schedule, as you can tell. I rarely take a break from what I do to focus on the Lord in my quiet time or myself just to unwind and relax. I know you guys live a very busy life with the show, the podcast, and Grace and Chloe, along with many other things that you guys deal with. How do you find the time to take a break from your busy lives, and what do you do during that time? Thanks, and hope to hear back from you.
Hi, Brett. It's so nice to hear a young man who's busy and has their priorities in order. I will tell you, it is very hard for Todd and I both to relax. Todd is very, very hard for him to relax. But for us, as we are, I know we're much, much older than you, you know, it's spending time just alone, whether it's binge watching a show or whether it's just being able to be in our house and not have anybody else there except Grayson and Chloe. Because we do have people in our house all the time. So for us, it is for sure just being able to have a day or an afternoon where we don't have to go and do anything. I mean, to me, it is a success. You know, people ask me, oh, did you have this amazing, great weekend? I'm like, I did. I didn't actually have to leave my house, which was so nice. So again, thank you. And please take that time for yourself, because I can tell you that when you don't, you will get burned out. It happens. So give yourself that time that you need to recharge and relax. Thanks, Brett. So before we move on to the next caller, Handy is the easy and convenient way to book home cleanings on a schedule that works for you.
I thought you was talking about how you get with me.
No, you book it right from the app or from the website. They're all pros. They are background checked. You can learn more at Handy.com. All of Handy's services are backed by the Handy Happiness Guarantee, and they have had over 3 million cleanings done. So you just tell them the number of bedrooms and bathrooms, you pick your date and time that you'd like it done, and you give them your priorities of what is important to you. They'll match you with one of their top-rated pros. You can read all the reviews and select the pro you'd like to hire. You can also add them, if you love them, to your pro team to use them for future bookings. We actually are using Handy.com because Savannah had a leak in her home and we're having to get some cleaning done. So it is a super easy process. It is convenient. And I know it's hard to find people who have been vetted to bring into your home.
It is here, especially in Nashville, which is why one of your friends gave this to you.
Right. So special offer, handy.com/CC. You get your first 3-hour cleaning for $39 when you sign up for a plan. Visit handy.com/CC and use our code CC during checkout. Reoccurring charge terms and conditions apply. Visit handy.com to learn more. So go handy.com/CC. Guys, 3 hours of cleaning for $39. You cannot beat that.
Next caller, please.
Hi, Julie and Todd. This is Samantha. I'm a huge fan of the show and the podcast. My dad recently passed, and then as I was getting him prepared and ready to bury, I found out that my mother has stage 4 lung cancer. So since then, it's been a little bit of an emotional roller coaster, to say the least. My partner, I love him, but he's not the most emotional person in the world. He's more like a crying doesn't really solve anything, so why cry type of person. I am going to see someone. I have an appointment set up just because I feel like my emotions are being bottled up. I guess my question is, how did you deal with everything going on when you found out about Julie, and what can I do to kind of not resent him for being more emotional? I can't change him. I don't want to change him. I love him the way he is. It's just with everything going on at once is when I'm realizing that the emotion part is a little harder for him than I thought it would be, I guess. Thanks. Love you guys. Bye.
Samantha, I am so sorry that you are dealing with this loss and sickness. And I know it feels like you've just been like a double whammy here with your dad and then now your mom. And I can tell you that until you experience these things, I don't think you can relate as far as your partner, him not being as emotional and sympathetic. And keep in mind, men traditionally are not as emotional and don't show their feelings typically as much as women do. So you have to understand that. And you have to understand that sometimes people grieve and people experience loss and hurt in different ways. And his answer may be, you know, to shut down. And I understand that you need that now. And what I would tell you is to A, spend time with your mom. Cherish those moments that you have left with her. Take the time to grieve your dad, and let the lines of communication always stay open with you and your partner. Because so many times when things like this happen, whether it's, you know, death or sickness, illness, it can destroy a relationship. And you don't want that to happen. So keep those lines of communication open with your partner and let him know, okay, this is how I'm feeling right now, and this is what I need from you. And good Lord willing, he will open up and give you that emotional support that you so feel like you need right now.
Next caller, please.
Hey, Todd and Julie. This is Katie from Dallas, Texas. I love y'all so much, Todd. I think you are just the funniest. So it may be more of a question for Julie, but I have a 1 and a 3-year-old, both boys. I cannot potty train this 3-year-old, y'all. I cannot do it. It is a struggle. He just turned 3 in January. I need tips. I need me some tips. If y'all can please help me out. Love y'all so much. All right, bye.
Hey, Katie from Dallas. Dallas is a favorite spot of Todd's.
I love Dallas so much. I love the people in Dallas. I love Highland Park. I say that's where I'm gonna buy my next home. It's gonna be in Highland Park. I love that area.
So we may become Texans before it's over, because he's really talking about it a lot, Katie.
I worship Nashville, but I love Texas. I love the shopping there. I love the convenience of everything. I don't love your traffic, but I do love. I think it's a beautiful city. I think it's new. I mean, everything is kind of new and clean.
And that's what you like about it. But Katie, this 3-year-old, girl, you're going to get through this.
You will. And make sure that you understand that to spare the rod is to spoil the child. And at 3 years old, I did not have a 3-year-old that was running me. I ran the 3-year-old. And the best thing you can do with this 3-year-old is to make sure that child knows who the boss is, who's the parent, who's the child. One of the greatest things, because Julie's done a million great things for our children and continues to every day, one of the greatest things that Julie did was she had our kids on a schedule. They got up at the same time. They had their breakfast at the same time. And when they were 3 years old, they were in the house with her all day or in the car with her, going wherever she had to go. But she made sure that whatever she had to do, they were back home and down for their nap. And then they got up, they played, they had dinner, they had their bath, they had relaxing time with us, and then she put them in their bed. So at 3 years old, a schedule and discipline is two of the greatest things outside of love that you will do for your child. Julie?
Absolutely, Katie. I agree with Todd 100%. So trust me when I say that you're going to be fine. I mean, I raised Chase, for goodness sakes.
You're still raising Chase.
Good luck, Katie.
Katie, honey, listen to me. You are a Texan. Texans are not taken down by 3-year-olds. So remember that. And also, I did not hear you say what participation your husband has with this 3-year-old. Call me back next week and let me know if your husband's as afraid of the 3-year-old as you are. Next caller, please.
Hey, Todd and Julie. My name is Lisa, and I live in Fort Washington, Pennsylvania. And my question is mostly for Julie. It's about being a step-parent. I have a stepdaughter who is 9 years old, and I have been her mom since pretty much she was 3. Her real mom is a heroin addict, doesn't see her much, doesn't care to give her the time of day. But a lot of times I feel like my husband still sees her as only his daughter. And I feel like I don't really get to have a say in anything. And he's always, you know, controlling how I interact with her and what I, you know, am allowed to tell her what to do. And I know, Todd, you said that when Lindsay and Kyle were little, you kind of didn't really let Julie do anything with them. So I was just wondering how she dealt with that and if it got any better over the years. Just been tough. And also was wondering if there is a time that you're going to tell Chloe about Kyle's addiction. Like I said, my stepdaughter is 9, and she asks a lot of questions about her mom. We usually just tell her, you know, her mom was sick when she was born and wasn't able to take care of her, so she lives with us. But it's getting to be not enough for her, and she wants to know more and more. And she overheard her mom saying that she's been in jail before, so she's got a lot of questions that we're really not sure how to answer. So I was wondering how you guys plan on handling that when Chloe gets to that point. I love you guys. Thank you. Bye.
Hi, Lisa from Pennsylvania. First of all, I want to say, I know where you've been, girl. So I have been there. I feel like I can speak for Todd in saying that your husband probably feels the same way that Todd did. He wanted to always overcompensate for the relationships that the kids were missing out on, i.e. not having their biological mother there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And so maybe your husband is experiencing some of that, and he feels like, okay, I have to protect her. And I have to overcompensate for the fact that I am her sole biological parent who is in her life every day. So I think that's part of the reason. I would say to you, be there for her as a parent, but also as someone that she knows she can depend on, she can trust, that's never going to walk out of her life, because that is so important. That's so important to a young girl. She's 9 years old, for her to know that she has a strong female presence in her life who is giving her great advice, who is being an excellent role model. Those are so, so important for her and for you to do for her. So I commend you. It is not an easy job being a step parent on any level, but I can tell you that if you have the right heart, if you do the right thing, it won't go unnoticed. There will be times when you're not going to be appreciated, when you're not going to be thought of. And I guess for me, at the end of the day, and I truly believe this, that a child and their mother, whether they're with that mother every day, there is that longing for a child to be loved by their biological mother. If they know their mom, if they've had some interaction, it sounds like your daughter has had some. And that's just the way God intended for it to be. That is no slap in the face to you. That's no slap in the face to what you do every day of, I'm sure, taking care of her and being that parent, being that mother figure to her. Don't let that get you discouraged, because it can, because you feel like you're not appreciated and you feel like she's never going to love you like she loves her mother.
And she's not.
I just don't believe that. So I think you have to keep an open mind, and I think you have to not look at things through rose-colored glasses. And I'm saying that to you because I was guilty of that. But I'm going to let Todd take it from here.
You know, listen, Lisa, this is a... Unfortunately, it's an epidemic that we have in this country. You know, we've got the highest divorce rate that we've ever had in the history of our country. Nick said something to me a couple of weeks ago. You know, he said, well, you know, your generation and my generation are different. I said, you're right. When we married, we hung in there. We made it work. And we didn't have a 53% divorce rate. So, you know, it's a tough thing. But there are more step parents actually now raising children than biological parents, you know, together. So it's an epidemic, and it's one that we're not succeeding at. You know, Julie raised Lindsay and Kyle from the time that we were together. So they were like 4 and 5 or 5 and 6. And listen, Kyle makes no bones about it and has never made any bones about it that Julie was the only mother that he's ever had. The only one that, I mean, he looked at it that she was the one who raised him. She was the one that was there for him when he was sick. She was the one that did everything for him. He says to this day, as of yesterday, no one cooks better than my mom. No one does things better than this. No one. And it's always about Julie being his mom. Lindsay had Julie to adopt her. But we're baffled by why that even happened, because clearly Julie thought she had a relationship with Lindsay that she never had with Lindsay. And I think Lindsay wanted in her heart to believe that Julie was her mother, and that's why she asked her to adopt her at 18. But she has since said that I never allowed Julie to fully be her mother, that I never allowed Julie to have the decision making, just to have the authority to make decisions on Lindsay and Kyle's behalf. And I did that because I felt like that they were my blood. They were not Julie's blood. Even though she was raising them, I brought them into this marriage. It was my responsibility to protect them, to keep them safe, and to make sure that they were not hurt emotionally. I can tell you now, I want to go on the record. When it comes to Lindsay and Kyle, I failed miserably because I did it wrong. I should have never allowed, and this is per Lindsay, and this is per Kyle, I should have never tried to forge a relationship with their biological mother. I should have never lied to them and sent gifts to them through the mail, making them think it was their mother. I should have never made excuses for their mother. I should have told them the truth. And Kyle said to me, "Daddy, please don't do to Chloe what was done to me and Lindsay. Always tell her the truth, no matter how bad I've been. When she's older, let her know the truth so that she doesn't come up with this image in her mind that I'm something that I'm not." And he said, "I know that you will try to protect me, but the lie is really protecting you. So don't do it. When she's old enough to understand that I've had a substance abuse problem, that I've had issues with mental health, tell her the truth. And hopefully I will be around to be able to confirm that for you and be able to help share that story with her." But now Chloe is 6 years old. She's not ready to learn all of that. All she knows is that her dad is sick sometimes and that he struggles with things and that he has to get well. And that's all that I believe that at 6 years old that she can handle and that she can accept. So I would say to you that it is not your job as her stepmother, and that's what you're going to always be. You will always be her stepmother. I think that when you look at these stories out here of women who have taken other women's children and been able to co-parent with that woman, that only works when you've got two women, that truly love the child unconditionally and are willing to place the child's feelings first before their own. We did not have that luxury. Clearly, you don't have that luxury. And those women that can share that story with you that have had that luxury, you may have, on the whole grand scale of things, a half of a percent that can share that story with you. The rest is going to be your story. It's going to be my story and everyone else's story. When there is a child from another relationship that, and then a new relationship starts, that child, and I'm saying this based off of what my two grown children have said, they feel like that they're on the outside looking in, that they're looking at this beautiful Leave It to Beaver family that you've now created with someone else. But are they really ever a part of that? I can tell you that we did everything in our power to make sure that Lindsay and Kyle were a part of that. But you can only give to someone what they're willing to accept. And if they don't want it, no matter what you give them, they will never appreciate it. So what I'm going to end this with is that we're going to pray for you. We're going to pray for this little girl. We're going to pray for healing for her biological mother. And that's something that you should pray for, because if you love your husband the way you're supposed to, then you will love his daughter the way you're supposed to. And the best thing that can happen for his daughter is for her to have a healthy, whole biological mother that can be a mother to her. So I hope that helps you.
All right. Let's talk about one more thing today. Anyone who's had a migraine knows they're absolutely the worst.
I have them all the time when you mention, kids coming
home. That's not true. Now it's a little easier to treat your migraine from the comfort of your own home, thanks to Cove. I mean, everyone knows it's all about not having to leave your house anymore, whether it's for groceries or food. And now you can get treated from home with Cove.
You start out with a simple consultation by a licensed physician, and then the prescription that they determine best for you is sent directly to your door. It's personalized. They break down everything you need to know about migraines and migraine treatment. So there's education. It's doctor supervised. A doctor who is licensed to practice medicine in the state you live in will be the one who prescribes your monthly medication and oversees your progress. It's an FDA approved medication. So if you suffer from migraines, the last thing you need is to have to wait to see your doctor. With Cove, there's finally a way to get the help you need when you need it. And when you use my special link and get your first month of treatment for free, guys, go to withcove.com/cc. That's withcove.com/cc. withcove.com/cc. I have a cousin, and my whole life I can remember growing up, she suffered from migraines, and they were absolutely debilitating. And I knew people now who can't get out of the bed.
Now, which cousin we talking about? The cat eye? She gave everybody around her a damn migraine.
Okay, so let's move on to the next caller.
Hi, Todd. Hi, Julie. My name is Tisha. I love your show. I am from Iowa, and I watch your show every time it's on and even reruns. I just have a question for you. I just want to know what you would do after having a husband of 10 or 11 years and he is into things that you're not into, intimately. I guess that's just my question. Thank you. Love your show. Bye.
Wow. I don't know what I'm not into because, I mean, Judy's pretty freaky.
You better hush. Don't even say that.
Let me just say that, A, it bothers me at the tone that you used when trying to discuss this because I think you were struggling with trying to tell me exactly what it is that he's into that clearly you are not. So let me tell you how that works. I would love for Julie to be an acrobat. I would love for Julie to do many things, but if I have proposed those things to Julie and she said, I'm not comfortable in doing that, or I'm embarrassed in doing that, or whatever, I have respected that and been good with it and loved her even more. So there should be nothing that is off limits in your bedroom between you and your husband that you both, and I reiterate, both are in agreement to. Now, we've never done this three-way stuff or
okay,
swing.
We're not even talking about that.
No, we are going to talk about it because she just called anyone to talk about things. And your inability to be able to discuss situations that you think are embarrassing doesn't help the caller. So let's talk about that. That is not something that Julie and I have ever done, nor are we ever going to do. I've always been of the equation that two dicks in the bed's one too many for me. I'm going to call it the way I see it. So do not
say those words on this podcast.
Okay. Well,
you know,
with that being
category.
Said, I'm going to tell the truth. I would never feel comfortable in being in bed and sharing my wife with another man because I feel like, and Julie, you and I have had this conversation, so stop acting like you're a prude and that you don't have these conversations.
No,
you and I have had these conversations to where I have said I am baffled by this.
Yeah.
Because how can a man say he loves his woman and his wife, the mother of his children, while laying there watching her be intimate with another man?
No.
I mean, now listen, I would have no problem if you wanted to bring a hot woman in, but that's not going to happen either, right?
At the end of the day, I feel like that a marriage, whatever that marriage looks like to you, whatever your relationship between two people looks like to you, I feel like that is something that should be sacred. I feel like that is something that should be between the two of you and that you both should never be put in a position where you feel like you have to do something that you're not comfortable with. I just don't feel like that's right. So I would say talk to your husband. Find out, and we don't know a lot of the information, so it's hard to answer this question, really. But, you know, find out what it is. Find out where his mind is, what he's thinking, and know that I personally don't feel like you should have to do anything that you don't feel comfortable doing.
You know, I really just your tone has caused me to be a little upset, and I worry about you. So, I mean, I want you to call me back next week and let me know that the message you received from me is, If it doesn't feel right for you, then it ain't happening. If you are not 100% committed to doing what he's wanting to do and he can't respect that, then let me tell you, sister, you got a bigger problem. And it's not sex. It's lack of respect. Next caller, please.
Yes, my name is Laura Sloan, and I'm calling from Cody, Wyoming. And just need a little advice. I'm 46 years old. I had gotten married. I was in a relationship for 3 years. The man was in his 50s, had older children. He had been divorced for 10 years. Long story short, we were only married for 3 weeks, and his daughters destroyed our marriage. Kidnapped him, also declared him incompetent. It will be a year that I have not seen him. They put him in a nursing home, took all of his money, and my mom still can't get over it. I've tried to get her to go to counseling with me. I've tried her to get to go to church with me. Just a little advice, I would be greatly appreciated. Thank you.
Sister, now yours is one of the more interesting phone calls that we have ever had. So, Laura, honey, let me just tell you, because I had Kyle under a guardianship. And a guardianship is what happens when someone is not capable of making good decisions, or they're a threat to themselves or others, or, you know, things like that. So if they were able to have him ruled mentally incompetent, there's a high probability, most likely, that he is mentally incompetent, because there has to be multiple psychiatric evaluations in order for that decision to be determined. And for him to be in a nursing home, there's more to this story, Laura, that I need to get my hands on in order to be able to give you a fully educated opinion of the situation. But honey, what I'm going to tell you is that with these two daughters kidnapping their adult father, having him ruled incompetent, placing him in, you know,
a nursing home,
I'm trying to figure out if they've got a room for your mother. Because why she can't get over this and be grateful that her daughter dodged a bullet and can move on and have her own children and with someone her own age and spend the rest of her life together is baffling to me. So, I mean, I think you should go and find out from those two daughters that kidnapped their daddy if they can get a BOGO for your mama. But
oh, my God. That's awful. Yeah, this is like a bad Lifetime movie.
It really is. I mean, Laura, I mean, when I tell you, Laura, this is, you've got to call back in and give more detail next week.
Please,
because the
do.
Callers are going to want to know.
Yes, and we want to know, because this is just crazy. So your marriage only lasted 3 weeks, so I guess maybe you could get it annulled even. I don't know what the rules are.
Well, I mean,
right?
I don't think you can get it annulled if you've had sex. You can only get it annulled if it was if you were married and you were induced into the marriage for fraud, or
right,
if you haven't had sex.
Yeah. Okay. But Laura, call us back and let us know. So next caller.
Hi, Todd. Hi, Julie. My name is David Martinez and I live in Odessa, Texas. I just want to simply say thank you. Thank you for every time I'm in a depressing mood or down state of mind or sad. Thank you, Todd and Julie and the Chrisley family, for always lifting me up so I can have joy and I can have laughter. Without any of y'all, I would still be this depressing guy. You know, I grew up in the foster care system and I really didn't have anybody. Y'all let us know and we're a part of your family. And I thank you for that. Say, I want to let you know that if I ever get to meet you someday, I want to give you a big hug. Because you remind me a lot of my grandmother. She was so loving and so sweet. I thank you.
David Martinez. I think that's probably one of the greatest calls that we've ever had. And it truly, Jude and I are sitting here right now with tears in our eyes. First of all, we are where we are today because of you and because of so many other viewers that have placed us here. So let us thank you and all of the people that tune in to Chrisley Confessions and to, you know, Chrisley Knows Best on USA Network, because without all of you, we wouldn't be able to be here to hear the love that you have for us. And, you know, we say all the time, Julie and I do, that we wish we could literally just every person that is so loyal and dedicated to us that we could actually see them and tell them how grateful we are to them. So I hope that you and I and Julie and the rest of the family will be able to meet it at some point in our life.
And David, you're in Texas, so who knows? Because we're going to take this show on the road, folks.
And, you know, listen, we are going to start doing something with our podcast that maybe other people don't. We're going to start doing a open forum podcast, and we're going to travel around the country. So call in each week and let us know where you would like to see us pop up. And it's only going to be for, I think, 150 people each time. So we'll let you guys know where the tickets are going to be sold. We'll let you know what the dates are. And then you get to come and ask your questions in person,
but real lifetime.
But basically appear on the podcast with us. So, you know, we get all these calls every day, you know, about celebrities wanting to come on the podcast and talk to us and this, that, and the other. And what have I always said? Who I wanted on the podcast.
We want you guys. Which we is want why real we have
people.
This format.
That's right. We want real people. So, David, we want to tell you at the same time, we love you and we appreciate you. God bless you. Thank you so much for calling in, and I hope that you have a blessed day.
Hi, my name is Zoe, and I wanted to know, are you guys overprotective with your kids around the internet? And I wanted to know, do you think it's okay that I have a boyfriend that's 2 years older than me? Thank you. Bye.
Zoe, I would ask that you go back and watch season one, and that will answer your question. Go back and watch season one of Chrisley Knows Best at what I did with Chase's computer, and that involved his internet usage. A, I cannot tell you if I think it's okay if your boyfriend's 2 years older than you, because I don't know how old you are. So if you're 13 and he's 15, no, I don't think that's okay. If you're 15 and he's 17, don't think that's okay. If you are 18 and he's 20, I can probably deal with it. If you're 24 and he's 26, have no problem with it. If you're 30 and he's 32, I'm good. But so I really can't answer that. But I can tell you that from the internet's perspective, we have things on our internet that prohibits Grayson from getting on to certain sites. We monitor everything that he does. You cannot clear a history, because if you clear a history, then I automatically assume you've been doing some shady shit and you were trying to hide it. So therefore,
you lose your privilege.
So we check his phone. So we know what's going on in our house. So, I mean, I think that we are fairly strict parents when it comes to what our children are exposed to.
Absolutely.
So I hope that that answers your question. And I hope that you'll call back and fill me in on kind of how old you are. And maybe I can give you a better answer it in a different way. So, folks, with that being said, that is our last caller for today here at Chrisley Confessions. I think today was a very insightful, heartfelt, therapeutic podcast.
Absolutely.
And so, folks,
until next time,
hit us back. Let us know where you'd like to see us pop up in 2019, in what part of the country, and how many of you out there want to show up and be a part of the audience. Please let us know. So until then, stay tuned for more Chrisley Knows Best on USA Network, as well as in April, the new show featuring Chase, Savannah, and Nanny Faye, Growing Up Chrisley. With much love and appreciation to all of you who listen in and who tune in on Tuesday nights on USA. Much appreciation and gratitude. Until the next time.